The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from ACB.org, submitting complaints concerning access barriers when traveling by air. Please see the email below ACB received from the Department of Transportation concerning air travel. Dear Disability Advocates, the Department's Office of Aviation Consumer Protection, OACP, is excited to announce that it will launch the Aviation Complaint Enforcement and Reporting System, ACERS, a modernized web-based system, on August 1, 2025 at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. This launch of ACERS will focus solely on the submission and handling of new air travel service complaints. The department previously relied on an outdated consumer complaint application system developed in the 1990s to do its work. We expect that ACERS will make it easier for consumers to file air travel service complaints, enhance security and privacy protection of aviation consumer data, make it more efficient for airlines and ticket agents to handle consumer complaints, and enable the Department's Office of Aviation Consumer Protection, OACP, to better assist the thousands of consumers who file complaints each year. Upon launch, consumers will be able to file air travel service complaints, comments, and compliments by accessing the consumer portal. Airlines and ticket agents will receive these submissions in real time in the ACERS Aviation Industry Portal and through the email address that they selected for notifications when registering for ACERS. The permanent URL to access the consumer portal of ACERS is https://airconsumer.dot.gov/consumer. That's .dot.gov/consumer. Should consumers experience technical issues while using ACERS, they can report these issues to us through the technical support feature on the ACERS consumer portal. We also ask that you contact OACP through Peter Cacioppo, C-A-C-I-O-P-P-O, at peter.cacioppo@dot.gov. If you should become aware of any problems, we plan to host a virtual information session with disability rights advocates at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on August 11, 2025, to field general questions and obtain feedback on ACERS. An Outlook meeting request and Zoom link to join this session will follow this email. Please inform us of any needed accessibility accommodation for the August 11 meeting no later than close of business on August 4, 2025. Thank you for your continued partnership. Regards, Blaine A. Workie, W-O-R-K-I-E, Assistant General Counsel, Office of Aviation Consumer Protection, U.S. Department of Transportation, posted August 1st. Next up from speak4.app, Disability Access. ACB urges the House to pass the Disability Access to Transportation Act. People with disabilities have long faced access problems when utilizing paratransit services. For instance, paratransit users must wait significant periods of time between trips, making it difficult to carry out regular appointments and errands in one day. Additionally, most states do not provide on-demand ride requests for paratransit users. As a result, they often have to schedule rides multiple days in advance, limiting their options to carry out responsibilities and participate in their communities freely. The Disability Access to Transportation Act, DATA, calls for the development of a pilot program to combat these issues. The pilot program will allow paratransit passengers an additional quick stop on their way to their final destination. For instance, if a person is taking paratransit from home from work, they can make a quick stop at the pharmacy to pick up medication. The bill has bipartisan support. In addition to this important service, the bill also includes language to prioritize projects that utilize real-time tracking and on-demand scheduling technology. Currently, many paratransit providers use outdated and legacy technologies that hinder advancements in paratransit services. The pilot program will also streamline the accessibility complaint reporting process with the Federal Transit Administration, FTA, and collect data to identify gaps in paratransit services. Catching up with the AFB, first up we have disability advocates commend the introduction of the Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act. Contact Tony Stevens, STEPHENS, Assistant Vice President, Communications, at 212-502-7627 or email tstephens@afb.org. Comprehensive legislation to define, support, and enforce digital accessibility. Dateline, May 20th, Baltimore. The American Foundation for the Blind, the American Council of the Blind, and the National Federation of the Blind, and the National Disability Rights Network applaud the introduction of the Websites and Software Applications Accessibility Act, House Resolution 3417, into the House of Representatives by Representative Pete Sessions of Texas, and lead co-sponsor Representative Stoney Hoyer of Maryland. This legislation seeks to eliminate persistent digital accessibility barriers faced by blind and disabled Americans. Quote, for too long, blind Americans have faced inconsistent standards and persistent barriers in the digital world, said Mark Riccobono, president of the National Federation of the Blind. This comprehensive act will finally provide the clarity and enforcement mechanisms needed to ensure genuine digital inclusion. By establishing clear federal standards and supporting small businesses in implementation, we're creating a framework for full participation in modern life. Whether accessing healthcare portals, applying for jobs, or shopping online, blind Americans deserve the same access as everyone else. ACB strongly supports the Websites and Software Application Accessibility Act because it brings us one step closer to a truly inclusive society, says American Council of the Blind Executive Director Scott Thornhill. This bill will finally make digital accessibility a legal requirement, not just a best practice, and ensure that websites and software are designed with everyone in mind from the start. ACB has long championed this critical issue, and we remain committed to advocate for its passage for as long as necessary. Eric Bridges, President and CEO of the American Foundation for the Blind, shared, "Websites and digital applications remain some of the most frustrating barriers that blind and low-vision people face on a daily basis. This legislation would dramatically shift accessibility for people with disabilities and make it easier for businesses to create accessible websites and apps, while enabling people with disabilities to use their products and services." Thank you to Representatives Sessions and Hoyer for reintroducing this legislation to improve access to work, school, shopping, and healthcare for blind Americans. For too long, digital access for people with disabilities has consistently been an afterthought, if thought of at all, said Marlene Sallow, S-A-L-L-O, Executive Director of the National Disability Rights Network, NDRN. It's absolutely critical that the tools and technologies essential for disabled people to navigate the ever-evolving online world are fully accessible. Virtually all Americans are using the Internet and mobile applications in some way. This legislation addresses long-standing concerns about the inconsistent accessibility of the digital environment, and it will position the United States as a global leader in digital inclusion while providing practical support to businesses implementing accessibility standards. Accessibility is achievable. About the American Foundation for the Blind, founded in 1921, the American Foundation for the Blind creates equal opportunities and expands possibilities for people who are blind, deaf, blind, or have low vision through advocacy, thought, leadership, and strategic partnerships. In addition to publishing the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness, JVIB, AFB is also the proud steward of the Helen Keller Archive, which is available on the AFB website at www.afb.org. Posted June 10th, AFB announces its first cohort of AFB scholars. Contact Tony Stevens, Dateline Arlington, June 10. The American Foundation for the Blind is proud to announce the first cohort of recipients in its newly launched AFB Scholars Program, which supports the next generation of blind and low vision leaders pursuing higher education. In its first year, four outstanding students have been awarded the Lulu J. Alonzo Scholarship. In recognition of their academic achievements, leadership potential, and commitment to creating a more inclusive world, the inaugural AFB scholars are Annika Ariel from Santa Rosa, California, entering her second year of law school at Stanford University. Madeline Major from Plymouth, Minnesota, will enter the University of Minnesota in the fall as a freshman, attending to study sociology and communications. Maddie Nardone from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, pursuing a doctorate in occupational therapy at the Medical University of South Carolina. Joshua Olukani, Olukanni, from Lawrenceville, Georgia, completing a master's in wealth management at Georgetown University. These extraordinary students embody the values and vision of AFB. Their academic drive, personal resilience, and dedication to academic excellence and advocacy are nothing short of inspiring, said Eric Bridges, AFB President and CEO. The purpose of the AFB Scholars Program is to support future leaders who will shape a world where blind and low-vision individuals can excel, and we look forward to continuing to expand the program's reach to empower more students. The AFB Scholars Program is part of the organization's broader mission to champion inclusion and access for people who are blind or have low vision. By investing in educational opportunities, AFB continues to break down misconceptions about blindness and foster leadership within the disability community. Made possible through the generous support of the Alonzo Scholarship Fund, the AFB Scholars Program aims to invest in today's scholars to transform tomorrow's world. These scholarship awards are offered in addition to AFB's existing scholarships available through our partnership with the American Council of the Blind. For more information about the AFB Scholars Program, visit www.afb.org/scholarships. Founded in 1921, the American Foundation for the Blind creates equal opportunities. I read that just before. Posted July 2nd, AFB announces Dr. Tiffany Wild as recipient of the 2025 Corinne Kirchner Research Award. Dateline Washington, D.C., the American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, is excited to announce the 2025 recipient of the Corinne Kirchner Research Award. The award will be presented to Dr. Tiffany Wild of the Ohio State University. AFB recognizes Dr. Wild with this award for her prolific scholarly work encompassing the conceptual learning of students who are blind or have low vision, with a focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education. Through her published research, Dr. Wild continues to guide educators in ways that can open doors of opportunity for blind and low-vision students in the disciplines of science and mathematics, doors that had historically not always been open for our community in previous generations, said Eric Bridges, AFB President and CEO. Her passion for using research to empower students to succeed in the classroom embodies the spirit of Dr. Kirchner, who dedicated her own life's work to furthering research that elevates the education of students who are blind or have low vision. The announcement of the award comes at a significant moment as AFB received the sad news of Dr. Kirchner's death on June 15, 2025, at age 90. Throughout her long and storied career, Dr. Kirchner established herself as one of the leading scholars on matters pertaining to people with disabilities, particularly those who are blind or have low vision. Established in 2007, the Corinne Kirchner Research Award recognizes scholars and researchers who have made groundbreaking contributions to the field of blindness and low vision through published work. Named after Corinne and Drenny Kirchner, Ph.D., who set the benchmark against which much of the subsequent research in the field has been compared, AFB presents this award to scholars who have conducted investigations of demographic data, analysis of outcomes for programs and service delivery, and scientific examination of socio-ecological trends in the population of people who are blind or have low vision. The 2025 recipient of the Kirchner Award, Dr. Wild, is an associate professor as well as the assistant chair for the Department of Teaching and Learning at Ohio State University. Her body of qualitative research has focused on the conceptual learning of students with vision impairments. She received her PhD from The Ohio State University in 2008, and she holds a Master's of Education in Special Education from Vanderbilt University, a Bachelor's of Ed in Middle Childhood Science and Mathematics Education from Ohio University, and a BA in Environmental Science and Mathematics from Capital University. In addition to her extensive research activities, she has far-reaching experience in the classroom as a teacher of visually impaired students, having previously taught in Ohio and Tennessee. Join AFB in celebrating Dr. Wild's accomplishments and remembering the legacy of Dr. Kirchner at the annual awards luncheon in Arlington, Virginia, which will be held November 13th as part of the 2025 AFB Leadership Conference. For more details, visit www.afb.org/AFBLC. I read about that last week. From scripps.edu, FDA approves Encelto, E-N-C-E-L-T-O, a first-of-its-kind eye implant that slows vision loss in rare eye disease. Eye image of a patient with macular telangiectasia type 2, showing tiny crystal-like deposits and abnormal blood vessels in the retina. Credit Scripps Research. Cell-based therapy with roots at Scripps Research offers new hope for patients with macular telangiectasia type 2. Dateline June 4th, La Jolla, California. For people diagnosed with macular telangiectasia type 2, MacTel, a rare and slowly progressing retinal disease, there have been no FDA-approved or other treatments to slow or stop vision loss. That changed on March 6, 2025, with the approval of Encelto, Revacinagenetitaurexlwey. That's a long scientific name. A surgically implanted device designed to preserve sight in people with this condition. Developed by the biotech company Neurotech Pharmaceuticals, Encelto's origins stem from a long-standing partnership between the Scripps Research Lab of physician-scientist Martin Friedlander and the Lowy Medical Research Institute. This marks the 17th FDA-approved therapy to emerge from work at Scripps Research. The device is expected to be available to U.S. patients in June 2025. The Lowy family's commitment to finding a treatment through their extraordinary support of the MacTel project and the Lowy Medical Research Institute, combined with the work produced by Scripps Research, Neurotech, and an international consortium of scientists and clinicians, is a testament to the power of collaboration and the importance of basic science in developing effective treatments for debilitating diseases, said Friedlander, whose research, along with that of others, helped pave the way for Encelto. MacTel affects the central part of the retina, which is essential for sharp, detailed vision. People with the disease often have trouble reading, recognizing faces, or seeing fine detail, symptoms that gradually worsen over time. To slow this progression, Encelto delivers a steady dose of ciliary neurotrophic factor, CNTF, a naturally occurring protein that supports the survival and health of nerve cells, including photoreceptors in the retina. CNTF acts as a neuroprotectant, meaning it helps shield these cells from damage to delay the degenerative process. The FDA's approval was supported by two Phase 3 clinical studies showing that the Encelto implant slowed the loss of sight-sensing retinal cells in people with MacTel over a 24-month period. Devices removed from patients' eyes after as long as 14 and a half years still produced levels of CNTF comparable to what they were producing at the time of implantation, suggesting the device should remain efficacious well beyond the 2 years observed in the trials. This is being examined further in extended Phase 4 trials. This is the first time a cell-based therapy delivering a neuroprotectant has been approved to treat a neurodegenerative disease, notes Friedlander. Now president of the Lowy Medical Research Institute, Friedlander played an active role in shaping Encelto's scientific foundation and helped lay the groundwork for its clinical development through earlier work from his Scripps research team. MacTel was initially believed to be a blood vessel disorder because early imaging showed abnormal leaky capillaries near the center of the retina. But Friedlander and his lab helped reveal that the real issue was neurodegeneration, the gradual death of photoreceptors and supporting glial cells. In a key proof-of-concept study published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation in 2009, they showed that gene therapy could be used to deliver a neuroprotectant directly to the retina in a preclinical model resembling the disease, effectively slowing or preventing cell loss. This early success paved the way for further development of Enselto. A few years later, a member of the Lowy family was diagnosed with MacTel. The family's search for a treatment became the driving force behind developing a lasting targeted therapy for MacTel, which would eventually become Enselto. Building on his 2009 findings, Friedlander began looking for a way to deliver CNTF to patients in a safe and sustained manner. He reconnected with Neurotech, a company he had worked with in the 1990s, to explore utilizing one of its devices originally developed to treat other retinal conditions. Together, they explored the use of a tiny collagen-based capsule containing genetically modified retinal pigment epithelia, RPE, cells, which help nourish the retina and support photoreceptor health. Once implanted in the back of the eye, the device releases CNTF in a controlled, long-term way while shielding RPE cells from attack by the body's immune system. Enselto is also being evaluated for neurovascular degenerative conditions beyond MacTel. Friedlander's lab is now exploring its potential to deliver other therapeutic molecules for diseases such as glaucoma and age-related macular degeneration. The retina is an extension of the brain, so this also implies that a neuroprotectant could be used to prevent neurodegeneration in other diseases, says Friedlander. He adds that Enselto's success is the culmination of years of research, persistence, and problem-solving by many people, from the earliest lab studies to the final stages of clinical testing. There's no greater satisfaction for a clinician scientist than to be able to find a treatment that will potentially impact hundreds of thousands of patients, says Friedlander. It's tremendously rewarding to take something from the lab bench and actually bring it to the bedside. From fightingblindness.org, Atsena gets FDA nod to expand XLRS gene therapy clinical trial to include pivotal Phase 3 cohort. Atsena Therapeutics, a developer of innovative gene therapies for inherited retinal diseases, has received agreement from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, to expand the current Lighthouse Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial for ATSN-201, an X-linked retinoschisis XLRS gene therapy, into a continuous Phase 1-2-3 clinical trial. By expanding the current trial, Atsena avoids the need for an additional registrational study, thereby reducing the time to potential approval by at least 1.5 years. The Phase 1-2-3 trial can serve as a registrational trial to support the request for marketing approval through submission of a Biologics License Application, BLA, to the FDA. Atsena anticipates a potential BLA submission in early 2028. As part of its commitment to working with industry to develop innovative, practical approaches for accelerating the development of life-altering therapies for patients with rare diseases, the FDA has recently approved seamless Phase 1-2-3 study designs for several rare disease programs, said Kenji Fujita, MD, Chief Medical Officer at Atsena. We are encouraged that their agreement with our proposed design reflects a continued commitment to pragmatic approaches to drug development in serious rare diseases. ATSN-201 has received Regenerative Medicine Advanced Therapy, Fast Track, Rare Pediatric Disease, and Orphan Drug designations from the FDA, all of which can accelerate and streamline therapy development. Atsena will add another pivotal cohort in the ongoing multicenter Lighthouse trial, which will include approximately 30 adult and pediatric patients, randomized evenly between treatment and control groups. Patients in the control group will have the opportunity to receive treatment after 1 year. Efficacy and safety will be assessed in all patients using measures such as microperimetry, visual acuity, and macular structure. The pivotal cohort is anticipated to begin enrolling in the first quarter of 2026, with a data readout expected in the second half of 2027. In May 2025, Aetna reported that 7 of 9 patients in Part A of Lighthouse had resolution of the retinal schisis, the splitting of retinal layers, which is the damaging structural hallmark of XLRS. Those patients with structural improvements generally showed improvements in microperimetry, best corrected visual acuity, and low luminance visual acuity. Aetna is currently enrolling in Part B of Lighthouse, which will include 9 adult and 3 pediatric, at least 6 years of age, patients. The RD Fund, the Foundation's Venture Philanthropy Fund for Advancing Emerging Treatments into and through early-stage clinical trials, is a founding investor in Aetna. Aetna founder and chief scientific officer Shannon Boye, B-O-Y-E, PhD, University of Florida, is the preclinical developer for the company's emerging gene therapies. Also from fightingblindness.org, Ocugen launches Phase 2 and 3 clinical trial for Stargardt disease gene modifier therapy, posted July 21st. The therapy delivers copies of the RORA gene, O-R-O-R-A, to address multiple disease pathways. The biotechnology company Ocugen has dosed the first patient in its Phase 2 and 3 Guardian 3 clinical trial. That's capital G, capital A, capital R, capital D, IAN, number 3, for OCU410ST, an emerging gene modifier therapy for people with Stargardt disease caused by mutations in the gene ABCA4. According to Ocugen, OCU410ST is designed to deliver copies of the RORA gene to retinal cells to reduce the formation of lipofuscin, L-I-P-O-F-U-S-C-I-N, the harmful deposits in the retina which are the hallmark of Stargardt disease. This company believes the treatment can also reduce oxidative stress, the formation of complement, harmful immune system proteins, and inflammation. OCU410ST uses a human-engineered adeno-associated virus, AAV, to deliver copies of the RORA gene to retinal cells. The therapy is administered using a one-time subretinal injection. The Phase 2 and 3 clinical trial will enroll 51 participants, with 34 receiving OCU410ST in their worst-seeing eye, and 17 participants assigned to the control, untreated group. The company reported encouraging safety and efficacy results for 6 patients in its Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial for OCU410ST. About the Foundation Fighting Blindness. The urgent mission of the Foundation Fighting Blindness is to drive the research that will provide preventions, treatments, and cures for people affected by retinitis pigmentosa, macular degeneration, Usher syndrome, and the entire spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases. Join the fight and help us accelerate our mission. I've run out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937, by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. See you at the New Visions Gala.